Now we come to the close of our study here, of the study of the parables. It's been an amazing study so far. I've really enjoyed it, putting the material together. I hope that you all have gleaned something from it as well. I appreciate the visitors for you all stopping by. This quarter that we've been working on, we've studied different parables that Christ has taught. And through the various things spread throughout them, the lessons to be learned from them, not only that was taught there, but things that we continue to apply as well today. But tonight we break into our last parable, at least for this quarter here. And tonight we're going to cover the parable of the rich fool. So some of these are some of the parables that we've covered throughout so far. We did actually not do the Pharisee and the publican, so I meant to replace that with the parable of the ten virgins. But we've covered everything else here. So tonight our reading is going to be coming from Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. That's where the parable starts out. But we're going to, for the context to draw into it, is going to come from verse 13. Now, as I say, with all each time that I've done this class, my mind sometimes gets focused on this laptop. So if you have questions or comments, please don't hesitate to ask them. I'll try to answer them the best I can. If I can't answer them, we'll definitely try to get an answer back to you, or one of the other brothers will be able to help with that as well. But tonight we're going to start off with reading Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13, to help us draw the context of from the parable in verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 13. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Then we have our parable that starts in verse 16. Keep in mind, the ones who he's speaking with was not only the gentleman that asked him that, but if you look in verse 1, an innumerable multitude of people gathered together. So he's speaking to an innumerable amount of people. But in verse 16, he spoke a parable unto them, saying, after he just got done talking about covetousness, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possessed." And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." And in verse 20, "But God said to him, You fool, this night thy soul, your soul, shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So we have a lot of things happening within this. We have an initial statement about covetousness that Christ is talking about. Bewaring of covetousness. And understanding that this parable is, as he's trying to talk to them about that, it continues to talk about the thoughts of the parable, or a parable in general. He's trying to get them to think of something that has a meaning that's not necessarily laid right out in the front. He spoke about covetousness. He spoke about wanting something, desiring something, but it's parables, again, continue to be sometimes on a figurative level, sometimes on a straight, more direct level. We think about Luke 8 and 10 and Matthew 13, 11 through 13, speaking about giving to know mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I know that y'all have seen this slide through and through, but again, it's just keeping that mindset about the parables and the meanings that they represent. So we set the stage for our parable. How does it start off? "Tell my brother to split the inheritance with me." He's worried about things that Christ is trying to get him to think about, not being so worried about earthly things. Christ is always, from everywhere, in all the parables that we've read, he's always trying to be caught in division against the word that he speaks. They're always trying to catch him some way, somehow, trying to disprove everything that he teaches. They're trying to catch him in a lie. They're always just trying to get him some way or another. But we know the things that he speaks are truth, and truth does not equal lies or division. Covetousness. So we start out in verse 15, right? Man who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Covetousness, as we've studied it through the scriptures, and things that we can see from examples in here, is that it starts in the heart. It starts with that desire, and it continues to build from there. There's a thought that enters into a man's heart. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms 10 and verse 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhors. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Boasting of the heart's desire. Covetousness. The reason I wanted to set the stage with this is talking about the covetousness that Christ is talking about. Boasting of the heart's desire here in Psalm chapter 10. Will not seek God. That God is not in all his thoughts. The will is not seek after God. And I think about what does Christ, God lay out in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17? Come back to this. This is a passage that's known as the Mosaic, that references the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments. In chapter 20 and verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So we understand that even from the old law, covetousness played a major part in things that God disapproved of. And while we're in the Old Testament, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. Continue to think about covetousness as it's laid out in the scriptures. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. You have consulted shame to your house by cutting off many people and have sinned against thy soul. Thinking about covetousness, even Habakkuk from Exodus to the Minor Prophets, sin is brought against your own soul. Now think about Achan's example in Joshua. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. In verse 20 and 21. Achan says, when I saw, starting verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I did what? I coveted them. I took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, in the silver under. Longing for something. Covetousness. Examples in the Old Testament, and we'll see something in the New Testament here in just a minute. They lead to sin. sin leads to death. Achan's example of his covetousness led to sin. In verse 25 there, Joshua, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And they had stoned them with stones. Verse 25, sin led to death. But I also think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And continuing to set the stage for this parable about covetousness. And the point that Christ is laying out. In chapter 12 there. Sorry, I keep my finger on the parable chapter there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor what? Covetousness. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Shall inherit the kingdom of God." I mean, all these people? All these that do this? Yeah, covetousness is in there. But I think about that with what Christ said. Take heed, beware of covetousness. There's a lot of things that covetousness leads to. He's trying to tell them a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And we see that, take heed, beware, it's more than what you have. And then we continue to break this down. As we've talked about covetousness, the parable begins, right? Plentiful fruits that this man has. He's got this earthly focus, selfishness behind it, self-glory, vanity of earthly gain, treasure of earth, some of the things that we'll cover inside of the rest of these slides. Excuse me. This rich man was not a fool because he was rich. That's not the problem. It wasn't the riches, that it was his mindset about riches. It was because he was a fool because he did not trust in God. He did not give God the glory. He did not lay up treasure in heaven. He trusted in his earthly possessions instead of the living God. There are many instances of wealthy, righteous people in the Bible. Abraham, Solomon, Job. We have those examples from the Old Testament. We talked about wealth throughout the Scriptures. Those earthly possessions, those individuals mentioned, Abraham, Solomon, Job, they had earthly possessions, but they also had faith and works, and they believed in God, and they gave back to God. They gave God the glory. Let's look at some of those. Job chapter 29. In verse 12. "Because I delivered the poor that cried, the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, the cause which I knew not I searched out. I broke the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days in the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay not upon the branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bowel was renewed in me." And I meant to go to 17 there. But just thinking about Job, how he was clothing himself, the things that he was doing with his spoils, it wasn't about himself. And I think 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17 through 19. "Charge them," thinking about wealth, right? "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Something there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, thinking about the mindset of that. We have plenty. All of us do. It's about the mindset that we continue to put ourselves in Where did this come from? Who are we giving the glory to? Where are we storing up for ourselves? And I think Philippians chapter 2. In verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own thing, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then I think about verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do in his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. You know, you got certain things that you have to do, but you have to give God the glory. You have to recognize. And I come back to the parable here, right? If you notice, there's a key word that was mentioned in this parable throughout. I, myself, my fruits, my goods, It's the emphasis is on self there. Christ is essentially covetousness leads to self-covetousness, right? I want that. It's not about I. It's about God. And then we have this man, right? The man is talking about the certain rich man brought forth plentifully the treasure of his heart. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Sorry, not married. But be merry. We see the treasure of this man's heart. And when I think about the treasure of this man's heart, I think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Not Psalms, Chris. Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, not yourself, him. And he shall direct thy paths. We should trust in the Lord. Turn over a couple more chapters. Proverbs chapter 14. One we all know as well. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 11. 11 and 12. Sorry. Verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end of the ways thereof are the ways of death. Actually, I did have verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What way seems right to a man? This man put all this stuff in self. This was me. This is what I did. Nobody else did it for me. And then God said, guess what? Tonight you're not. But where is the treasure again? Luke chapter 12 in verse 34. A few verses down. Something that we've seen in a couple of the parables already. Right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then I think about what Moses told the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I know we're kind of flip-flopping back and forth as far as between Old Testament and New Testament. So if any of y'all do want any of these passages, by all means, please let me know. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. Take heed to yourselves. Moses was telling the children of Israel. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord give you. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You ever think about what frontlets between your eyes is? Where are you looking? Perception.
Chris, in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 and 11, mm-hmm. rather says, He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Now he that loveth money increase, this is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased to eat them. What is good is there to the honor thereof, saving and holding of them in his eyes. In chapter 6 and verse 7, it talks about all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is never filled. Which describes what Luke is writing about as far as this man here. And when you look, what's one thing that he never did take, think about during his life on earth? What's one thing that is never mentioned by this man, this owner, about his life? Death. And that's what Christ reminds him of. It's something that we should think. You go to sleep at night praying that God gives you life that night, next day. We're only promised one day at a time. He was thinking far ahead. It's something we should be thinking of. We should think at the time that now we're living. But we don't know when we're asleep or when we wake up. We wake up and we should give thanks to God for that.
Very, very important. We're reminded of that with multiple scriptures as well. We know neither the hour nor the day that some man shall return. And going to bed every night, every day that we get granted is another day that God is merciful unto us. So
there shouldn't be a day past that we don't pray to God seven times. Because He is our strength. That's something we cannot give up and pass over.
Absolutely. Great point, too. I don't know if I actually put Ecclesiastes in here, but I got it written down there. That's for sure. Good comment. Any other comments, questions? So, I think about earthly possessions, right? We're coming back in here as well. Luke 12. Those earthly possessions that he was putting up in. It's a vanity heap of riches. This rich man was too focused on the earthly that he neglected the spiritual. Job 1 in verse 21. We got to check on time here, so we're good. Job 1 and verse 21. Tells us, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, or takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not and charged, did not charge God foolishly. Job understood it, that the earthly stuff and where it came from. Psalm 39 in verse 6. Surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and knows not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. Making sure that we're not heaping up riches just for earthly possessions. And actually, good point, CL. Did you say Ecclesiastes 5 in verse 13? I think I wrote that down. Or 11 and 12. But I had 13 through 15 right after that. It's Ecclesiastes 5.
11
and 12. 11 and 12? Yeah. I'm good. Riches perish. Psalm 52, while we're in the book of Psalms here. Psalm 52. And about trusting in the abundance. Trusting in abundance over God. Why boast yourself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. You love all devouring words, O you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place, root you out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. We continue to think about, I wanted to read that whole one just because I knew it was a little bit lengthy one, but thinking about the man that made not God his strength, but trust in the abundance of his riches, strengthened himself in what? In wickedness. When you trust in your abundance over God, it does not put you in a good place. Minding earthly things, your mind is not laid up on treasures where they should be, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 18 and 19, about earthly things, the end is destruction. And so as we prepare to come to our last couple of slides close, heavenly treasure, the man here, thinking of death, your soul will be required of you tonight. CL, to your point, he wasn't thinking about death. But Christ is also telling us as well that he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is something that is not thought of when you have your mindset on these things. And I think Colossians 3, 1 and 5, set your mind on things above. In verse 5, Colossians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, sorry, there is no Colossians 5 there. Colossians 3, 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. Covetousness is idolatry. Lay yourself treasures up in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21, where rust or moth destroy those things laid up in heaven. Where are your desires? Matthew 19, 21. Is that our first bell? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. If we desire to be Christ-like, we can't let anything hold us back. Luke 12 and 34. This man continued to think about the things that he did, things that he could prepare for. Things on his mindset that was temporary. Nothing eternal. What delivers us from death? And I think about Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. He had his mind set on earthly things. We continue to think about applications, not only what he taught about them to them at that time, but that, of course, all that applies to us as well. But more applications we continue to think about today in the world that we live in as well. These parables also help us to live in the society that we deal with day in and day out. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. This is Paul. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What are we content with? Where is our treasure? Are we as a rich fool? Where is our mindset? Are we considering death? Are we considering life after this earth is over? Is the word, like we understood from the parable of the seed. Seed thrown is the word as seed among thorns, Matthew 13, 22. Hebrews 13, 5, trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 30, a couple of these as we close up. Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 5. We only have a couple more verses and we'll close up after that. Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. add not unto his works, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. Two things I have required of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Every word of God is pure. Where is our mind? 2 Timothy chapter 4 is our last verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. This is Paul. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Laid up treasure in heaven is a crown of righteousness for those who keep the faith and finish their course. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches as the rich man did. The living God will reward us for our faith and obedience to him. We have to continue to have the mindset of not being covetous. Where is our mindset when we're looking at life beyond today? Life beyond tomorrow, if we are granted tomorrow. And every day that we count joy. So that's the thoughts that I wanted to leave you with as we close up about the parable of the rich fool. I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required. So, again, keeping the mindset of death to come. Judgment day will come. Where is our mindset? Where are we putting our trust in? Who are we giving the glory to? So, we have learned much from this parable and many others that we've studied. I know I have. So, I hope this has been helpful to you all. And we must continue to be diligent students of the Scriptures. Any closing thoughts? Additional comments that you all would like to mention?
There's definitely nothing wrong with riches that we come by honestly. Yep. But I don't know how we use it. Like the rich man here, he came by honestly. Just borrowed the poor. But he failed to give thanks to God. Then everything turned to what he could do instead of, and now I can help other people. Mm-hmm. He didn't look at any of that. Everything just self-centered. And so many people have to learn that today.
Great point. Any more? Any others? Thank you.